Are you ready to get spicy?
These Doritos Golden Sriracha aren't that spicy.
Sriracha? Sounds pretty spicy to me.
A little spicy, but also tangy and sweet.
Maybe it's time to turn up the heat.
Or turn it down. It's time for something that's not too spicy. Try Doritos Golden Sriracha.
Spicy.
But not too spicy.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
In a moment, we're going to be meeting Emily Duffy from the Hope and Courage Collective, who is going to tell us about a new report which has been done immediately after the violence in City West during the week. But before we talk to Emily, Conor Lally, Crime and Security Editor of the Irish Times, have things quietened down now, or are there fears for the weekend ahead?
Well, certainly things were quieter last night in City West. Several hundred people did turn up. It was more like a genuine protest than anything else. So we didn't see the same scenes, Matt, that obviously we saw on Tuesday night and indeed on Wednesday night. So look, after two very heavy nights, the guards are quite hopeful that things have calmed down. But they are certainly going to keep a major policing presence at that City West complex for at least the next 3 or 4 days. They're going to see how the weekend goes. They will be ready to tackle any trouble if it flares, but they're hopeful that things have calmed down. But then there's always the possibility that you could have trouble flaring elsewhere, and that's really what they're afraid of, particularly with Halloween approaching, which is always a bit of a peak time for antisocial behaviour anyway. So they are just keeping an eye on all of that.
Yeah, because there was also a report overnight about a centre which houses about 20 international protection applicants in Dublin's south or inner city in the Dublin 8 area being attacked last night by a small group of people wearing hoods who threw objects at the windows and the doors of the centre. Is that type of thing happened around the country, and particularly in Dublin in recent times? And how can that be protected against?
Yeah, I mean, that is very difficult. And that, you know, that's the problem really that the guards are facing now. It's very hard to predict those kinds of events, hard to, you know, forecast when they'll happen and where they will happen. Last night's incident, for example, it appears to have been carried out by, you know, children and possibly very young men, but certainly some of these people were quite young, maybe 13, 14 or so. They emptied wheelie bins on that street in Dublin 8. The bags of rubbish that were in the bins, there was an effort made to set them on fire on the road. And also some of the rubbish was thrown right at the hall door of this particular property where these 20 or so people are, and there was an effort made to set that on fire. Windows were also broken in the property, and some fireworks were also set off in the area. So look, certainly if that bag outside the door had caught fire, it could have been a very nasty incident. And I guess what the guards are fearful of is really, when we've seen a lot of violence over the last week on, you know, TV, on the airwaves and also on social media, senior Gardaí are saying that they're concerned that you may get, you know, young boys, young men being easily led and influenced by that type of content, and they may carry out copycat attacks in the coming days. Now, they suspect that that's what happened last night. But look, it is very hard to predict that, and they will just have to be ready to respond if they get reports of those types of incidents happening anywhere.
Conor, stay on the line. I want to bring in Emily Duffy, who's a communications and narrative lead at the Hope and Courage Collective. Emily, you've produced an almost instant report on how a small group of far-right agitators exploited what happened earlier this week in City West, a terrible case which is before the courts and will be dealt with by the courts. But tell us a little bit about how then this was exploited online.
Hi, Matt. Thanks. It's great to be here. Yeah, so basically what we saw from the very beginning, we were monitoring the situation from early on Monday. And I suppose we saw what we call the usual suspects, who are people with an agenda who have amassed quite large, sometimes international followings online, pushing kind of far-right and extremist racist content, who were ready to jump on this. So they already were making content and calls for violence, making assumptions about what had happened, all of that sort of stuff. And so what we saw is that started on Monday, with posts getting in and around 140,000 views. And then what we saw is they started to grow towards 500,000. And then we also saw international far right figures and kind of known live streamers and people like that showing up to the protest on night one. And I suppose their agenda is to spread hate, to stir trouble and to make money. Ultimately, these live streams are quite lucrative. So what they do is they show up, they incite people to be there. They will often incite people to violence through really, really extremist language. Once that violence happens, they tend to get what we call their money shot, and then they disappear. So they haven't been there on night two and night three, and they usually leave before any arrests get made. And it's usually, as Connor said, they're young men who have been incited to show up via social media because the algorithm pushes this type of content to them. They tend to be the ones who show up and face the consequences for the hatred that is stirred by a very small group of people online.
And then the live streaming of it, almost like it's some sort of show to be enjoyed on what maybe older people would have used televisions, but these people may be using their phones or their laptops. How many people is it reckoned that what happened on Tuesday night was live streamed to?
So we counted across platforms that across about 90 minutes into the protest, 1.1 million views across videos. And it's probably much, much higher than that because there are other platforms where people can live stream multiple streams at once.
Watched, Emily? There couldn't have been over a million people in Ireland watching this.
Exactly. So this is the thing, is that we've seen massive international far-right interest in this. So Elon Musk retweeted it. Tommy Robinson retweeted it. We saw Ezra Levant, who's a Canadian streamer, flew over. Another UK person flew over. So there are these massive international far-right ecosystems who look for events like this. And essentially what they want is that image of, you know, a Garda van on fire or unrest, and they want to add it to their kind of international narrative. Ireland is on fire, civil unrest, all of this kind of thing, because they have an agenda. They want to push this agenda around their views around race and white supremacy. And so they're ready. They are ready to go in moments like this. Their entire infrastructure is built for this. So that 1.1 million views was across TikTok, across X. And we actually didn't get to measure Twitch, which is a newer platform. And I would say there was an even bigger amount of people watching there. But essentially what they can do is put in live stream donations as well. And they'll say things like, help me keep up my journalism, my journalistic work, and people will donate them while the live stream is happening. And that's a really common sales tactic, is to get people really worked up, really afraid, and then ask for donations.
Give us more money to help support us in our work. Is that it?
Exactly. And what ends up happening is that they incite all of this violence. They tear communities apart. You know, children who live in the City West Accommodation Centre, there was one video I saw from inside the centre that actually seen the van on fire. Children were afraid to go to school the next day. I know a lot of people who are living in the accommodation centre didn't go to school the next day. And the irony is that the narrative online was around protecting children. And actually what happened is that this small group of people made the entire community far more unsafe for their own purposes. And like I say, when the arrests happened, they were nowhere to be seen.
Mm. Conor Nally, what do you make of all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think it is a concern. There's obviously a huge effort being put in by people to broadcast all of these events on social media. And what's happened now, really, I think, is that because we've had a few years of these kind of events going on, like the far right has probably been, you know, growing here for probably about the last 5 or 6 years. A lot of these people, be they from abroad or Irish people in Ireland, they're very well versed at, you know, at this kind of broadcasting now. So the standard of the broadcast has improved. They know what they're looking for. They know what their audience will actually respond to. So they're getting more effective all the time. And obviously, Tuesday's incident in particular was really perfect for them. You had things like a Garda van on fire. You had lots of, you know, bricks and so on being thrown at the guards. You also had Garda out in public order kit. You had Garda horses there, the water cannon. So visually, these are all really strong. And these kind of clips are used by these people as a rallying cry and as a recruitment tool to their cause, if you like. And also, as Emily said there, to raise funds for them. You know, a lot of them are earning their living from what they do at these protests and various other events. And then the real concern is that this kind of content will influence people, and it will particularly influence very young men who see this as exciting, that it's a thing that they want to get involved in. They think they can take on the guards and they won't get caught because there'll be lots of other people there. And this is the real problem. And Gardaí are also very fearful that this kind of hateful package that's been broadcast and beamed out to people is taking hold, particularly among young men. And that's the concern.
And back to you, Emily Duffy. What about the responsibility of the online platforms who host all of this material? Do they have any responsibility legally? Do they even care?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the very interesting things is that they essentially violate their own terms of service when they don't immediately take down this content. You know, YouTube has policies on harmful and dangerous content. So does TikTok, Meta, X, Twitch, around violent extremism. But we have to really think, like, what is it that these big social media companies care about? And what they care about more than anything is profit. And when they make the most profit is when people are glued to their screen. And so there's no real incentive there for them to actually act quickly and take this content down. We often say that kind of the far right and the social media companies are a bit of a match made in hell in this way, because the far right, you know, draw the audience through outrage. The social media companies then promote it through their recommender algorithm. And what you end up seeing is a small group of people who actually have quite an unpopular narrative. You know, we do a lot of testing and polling, and their narratives are not that popular. You know, their worldviews are not that popular. But because of the way that social media is designed, they're given amplification far beyond their usual reach. So what we say is that, yes, they need to, A, take down content that violates their own terms of service. We also need regulation to make sure that we have the Digital Services Act, that it is supposed to be there to protect us in these cases, but there's very little enforcement of it, I suppose, is what we would say. But mainly what we want to focus on is what we call the recommender algorithm, which is the incentive for people to create this content, which spreads the content really far. I mean, I know myself, I set up a TikTok account the other night just to do kind of clean monitoring. And within four videos, I got City West content, I got far right content. So we just know that this stuff is being actually pumped into people's feeds. And like you say, those young men who are online are getting this stuff constantly, and not any other narrative, not any other perspective on things, I suppose. Okay. So they're coming out because it's being pushed. So we are really pushing for the recommender algorithm to be pushed off. And actually, there's a thing coming up called the Democracy Shield that Michael McGrath, our EU Commissioner for Justice, has oversight over, and they could do that in that. So this is a moment for them really to reflect.
Thank you very much, Emily Duffy from the Hope and Courage Collective, and Conor Lally, Crime and Security Editor of the Irish Times.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.